I want to go back to a topic that we spent a lot of time on. We've actually only taken a one Sunday break from it, and that is the fivefold ministry, the design of the church that Jesus speaks of, and the investment of time and energy that we put into that was something I thought very, very significant. And it, what we need to do is to keep going in that path, because we got to a point, and at that point we began to see, well, that's all very interesting and even motivating, but now what? So I thought I'd spend a little time on now what. What does that look like? What does that mean? How does that work? Why do I even want to know this? Things like that. And you will recall that way back in the beginning of Lent, we saw a video about the wolves being released into Yellowstone Park. And the whole theme of that video was that one change brought the life, restored life to the entire ecosystem. And the introduction of the wolves brought Yellowstone back to what it was meant to be, the way it was created. And then we drew the parallel, one change will release the life and restore the community surrounding us to the picture that God has for it. And that one change is the ministry gifts that Jesus already created you with. When they're recognized and encouraged and released, and the church is organized for that to happen, then the life of God starts flowing through the community in a depth and manner that does not otherwise. So we've seen that. We spent Lent looking at each of the five gifts that you might be created with. Each person has one, and you're created with one of them. We put the posters back up for today because I wasn't going to quiz you on what they were. I do have another quiz prepared, but it's not that. And you see the five are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then we have a sixth, which is a new picture of the church. And that picture of the church, you remember, is faith plus action plus community equals church. That's the general description of how the ministry Jesus created us with will be released. And it is a different picture than priest plus liturgy plus building equals church. That is a smaller subset of the larger faith plus action plus community. So we've done all that. And we took many of us took an assessment, and we saw which of the five giftings that we may have been created with. Some of us didn't take the assessment, but talked with other people. What do you think it is? Some of us just took a guess, and some of us just went into whatever group we thought at the moment. But that's all right. It was still an excellent time together. And then we saw some excellent motivation among us. And there's some great reasons for that, which I'm going to unpack for a few minutes today and see where we go next. Because what I'm really interested in, among other things, is this. That is, what is God doing with you individually? And what is God doing with us together? And that we start moving in that direction. And I don't pretend to see that by myself. I know, I went to seminary, I know. My collar's new this morning, by the way. I have a collar and all of this, I know that. It doesn't mean anything along these lines. We see the action of God together. And so to share that together, we really set the direction for what we're going to look at least for the month of June. And we'll be able to share that more deeply. Okay, I promised you a quiz. Here it is. What would you say is an absolutely excellent definition of the work of ministry? If you are being equipped for the work of ministry, what exactly are you being equipped to do? Okay, we got serve, we got be a fisherman and spread the gospel. Yeah, all of that is right. Was there one more that I missed? Yeah. Okay, excellent set of answers. And what I would like to suggest is that each of those answers is in the larger group of the work of ministry. To do all of those, there is an overall picture, concept of the work of ministry. And when you are operating in that concept, that context, you're then able to do serving, sharing the gospel, being a fisher of people, and all of that. And it's this. Unless anybody wants to make the final. Discipleship. Yes, that's broader. Absolutely, that's much broader. However, there's a broader one yet. But I think you're absolutely correct because an operating system of discipleship is what is essential for the church to operate in order to make any progress and have any growth today, to reclaim that and restore that. Thank you for that, Larry. There was one more. Oh, Valerie. Connection, huh? Okay, that's big. So the question is, connection to what? You know, you stick your finger in the outlet and you have a connection, right? It is, quite, yes, that's right, in an experiential manner. All right, Carol.
So I like Valerie's statement.
Yes, I was about to build on it. Yes, that's right. What God is doing. There we are. I did not give my outline to Carol before this, but as the definition of ministry that I think is the best is to see what God is doing and join in. Or as Valerie would say, to connect with what God is doing. So you would engage with God individually, together as a community. We would engage, a fellowship, we would engage with God. And we would engage in God in the surrounding area. And God's at work in all those areas. And for us to be equipped to do what God would have us do, we become equipped to see what that is and then connect with it or join in. That would be the work of ministry. When we are paying attention to the fivefold giftings, and you are recognizing and embracing what Jesus has given you, you are then becoming part of a system, a group, a flow in which you are being equipped and helping others to be equipped to recognize the work of God and to join in with it. Very different direction than doing your best and hoping God blesses it. Now, please do that as often as you can, but do not describe that as the work of ministry. The work of ministry is seeing what God is already doing and joining in, because all ministry is the ministry of Jesus. Every piece of ministry is the ministry of Jesus that he shares with us. It tends to work better that way anyway, I think. So, let me unpack that for just a few more thoughts. In the gospel reading today, the very first sentence was, if you obey me, if you love what I command, you will obey me. Now, I don't know about you, but right away what does it say?
It says, if you love me,
you will keep my commands. All right, thank you. All right, the obedience is in there. You get the idea. That was the John translation that I shared. So, yeah, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Still rubs me the wrong way, as it may you. And you're thinking, well, okay, what if I mess up on one of these commands? Or I decide not to keep it? Or I get really honest with myself and I think it's more fun to do something else besides these commands, right? At least this one time. Does that mean I don't love Jesus? Does that mean I'm kicked out of heaven? Does that mean I shouldn't take communion? What does that mean? And we get this kind of works-oriented, somewhat legalistic approach to that, and we start thinking, that's it, I'm sunk. And why would Jesus require me to keep these commandments so that I can get in? And some of us, of course, have had that kind of experience. We've been in relationships where the person would say, you know, if you love me, you would know what I want. No, I wouldn't, but that's all right. It's still there. You know, it's the way it goes. But what Jesus is saying, I believe, very deeply and very strongly is this. If you love me, you will know some things. And one of the things you'll know is you'll know what I love. And you'll love what I love. That's how you know you love me. You love what I love. If you love me, you when you hear my voice, it'll stir you. And you'll start to want what I want. That's what that means. That's what that sentence means. If you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you want what I want. And you want to do it. You want to go after it like I do. And so you start doing that. It starts shifting your lifestyle. It starts doing things to your train of thought. It starts doing things to your relationship with God so that what becomes the higher priority is that you love what Jesus loves. You desire what Jesus desires. Believing things about Jesus no longer really is sufficient for you anymore. There's a deeper thirst and hunger, and it is being like Jesus that becomes your motivation. Having a lifestyle that is a lifestyle that Jesus has is what is important to you. And that what you want. As Larry said just a moment ago, discipleship, which is doing what Jesus did. And that's how that goes. That's what that means. Now that's something we also do together. Because we really have a tendency to be thinking, well, in my personal life, with my personal Savior, in my personal disciplines, I do these personal things. And in fact, they're private, which of course they're not. They're a part of the fellowship. And you, as a part of the fellowship, take on who you are. You become comfortable with who you are. You make your own decisions so that you can relate better within the fellowship. And then what happens is you begin seeing that you are either apostolic or prophetic, and you begin going in that direction so that you are growing in your gifting and other people are growing in their gifting because of what they receive from you. So in other words, we mutually build each other up. Now, how does that work? Well, we go back to the definition of the work of ministry, which is seeing what God is doing and joining in. So here's somebody that you've had a falling out with, and you know you're going to see them, and you'd rather not, but here it is. Of the millions of possible things that could happen at that moment, that person's going to be there. So there you are. Well, one of the things you can begin to realize is God here is at work. So how do I join in with that? What's the work of ministry that God would have me do when I see this person that I've had this falling out with and I still feel bad towards them and I really haven't forgiven? What's the work? Well, the work is, the ministry would be to forgive them as Jesus did on the cross to those who crucified him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In fact, the work of God here in the ministry that he gives would be so deep that it would not only be I'll forgive you, but I'm hoping God gets you in the end. It's be, Father, forgive them. The forgiveness would be total. And you're thinking, well, okay, I'm apostolic. I'm not that pastoral. I don't know if I can do this. But there's somebody else here in this fellowship who is that pastoral, because Jesus made them that way. And you start catching the work of Jesus that is more pastoral from them. You receive it from Jesus through them in the fellowship. And you become equipped to do the work of ministry in that kind of a situation because somebody else who is gifted pastorally has been relating to you. Let's use discipleship again. There's opportunity for discipleship. What's the work of ministry in discipleship? Well, the work of ministry would at least include evangelism. And here's an opportunity to share your faith, and you're thinking, oh, no. I have a gift of teacher, not evangelist. I cannot do it. And what do I do? Well, to go into the work of ministry where you're sharing your faith and having some people begin engaging with the rest of the community, the rest of this fellowship, you may not be gifted in that, but there's somebody else in the fellowship who is. And it would be naturally supernatural for them to be sharing with that person. You begin catching what that is and how that works from that person. Jesus gives it to you through them, and you are equipped in that work of ministry. Maybe not gifted, but equipped. And it goes, you know, so on. There's all kinds of things like that. You see an opportunity. The first question is, what is God doing there? How do I join in? If that is not my base gifting, I know somebody else for whom that is their base gifting. And when we start relating that way, and all of us become equipped for the work of ministry. As we go along in our daily lives doing that, that is how the life of God, the river of God, starts flowing out into the community in a way that it would not otherwise. In other words, you and I are equipped through each other to carry that life wherever we go. Very different than you and I praying hard enough on our own to get it, because we just might not. Remember, Jesus is God with a face. There's something physical about Jesus, which we still carry on with bread and wine. That is also carried on through each other. There's a physical relationship with each other by which we receive the equipping of Jesus. Now, why is that significant? Other than the reasons I just mentioned. There's another very, very powerful reason. And you probably don't feel this way, but you probably know people, maybe more people than you think, who feel this way. They would have the sense that they're invited to church because that church wants a higher attendance and a bigger offering. And then, in fact, what that church counts is attendance and offering. And that church maybe posts on the bulletin board the attendance and the offering. And what gets people really excited is when the attendance goes up and the offering goes up. And the subtle message to the people that may be coming is, the reason they want me here is so that I can be another number in the seats and another offering in the plate. To which Jesus says, you count. You personally count. You have a name I have given you and by which I call you. You have a purpose and a significance and a gifting and a calling. You have an ability with other people in relationship. You have something that when you are present in this fellowship, there's more of me that is flowing through the fellowship than when you're absent. there is more going on at a greater depth when you are relating to the others. And you are receiving more from me because I love you, that I have chosen you. We all count in that manner. And when you are moving in the gifting that he has given you, you are moving in that significance. Even if it seems easy, there's that significance. You're not only walking as Jesus would have you walk, you are equipping others to do the same thing. Now what happens when that goes on is that the body, and this local body, the fellowship, grows not only numerically, but in depth and in maturity and in unity and in faith. And we're going to look at that next week. In fact, two of the results of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers equipping the saints for the work of ministry is, one, equipping for the work of ministry, and two, maturity. Unity in the knowledge of Jesus and in the faith. And then maturity, growing up into the fullness of who he is. That's what happens when what's on these posters on the walls becomes the pattern of our lives. Wouldn't that be something? A year from now, where there is a discernible, deeper unity in the faith, a richer knowledge of Jesus, and an ability to do the work of ministry that we haven't yet imagined. But a year from now, it's right there. Okay, we'll keep looking. I really do want you to let me know what you think, what you wonder about, what the questions are, what crosses your mind. Email me, text me, call me. Train a carrier pigeon, send it to my house, anything. I really want to know. I really want to know. So that we can keep going into that path that Jesus has us to design for his church. In the meantime, I want to encourage you to be engaging with God individually. You might ask him, what do you want to tell me about what you're doing that I haven't seen yet? And then perhaps you could ask him for, in the fellowship, what are you doing among us that you want me to encourage? And then in the community, you might ask him, show me what's going on, well, with my neighbors or where I shop or whatever it may be. What are you doing that I haven't seen yet? I think we'll see some amazing things if you would carry that on. Would you please stand? Lord God, we give ourselves to you for the glory of the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would find within us the responsiveness that you desire. And that we would look for you and follow you all the days of our life. In the path that you wish. We ask that today, so your kingdom can be extended everywhere we go. Amen.